Good evening. It's good to be with all of you tonight. Appreciate all of your presence. It's an encouragement to me to have all of you here. I really appreciate the opportunity that the elders have given me to present a portion of God's Word. And I appreciate your willingness to listen, and hopefully we all can gain something from it. Also like to thank Mike for his song that he led just then, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me. I sprung that on him this afternoon because it will tie in nicely with the lesson, and appreciate his willingness to change his schedule just a bit to accommodate me, and I really appreciate it. And also appreciate Monty and his what he's talked about this morning with regard to death and life, and just appreciate the message that was presented from God's Word. It was an encouragement to me, and he did tap dance around my lesson just a little bit, but I'll let it slide. So I appreciate that. So if you would go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to Judges, the 12th chapter. Judges chapter 12. We'll be reading from there in just a moment. I wanted to talk a little bit about Jephthah for just a moment. So Judges chapter 12. So Jephthah was known as a mighty warrior. He was a judge of Israel. He was asked to judge Israel when the Ammonites came into the land and began attacking the Jewish people. And essentially what the Ammonites were saying was, this is our land, and we want it back. And they asked, the people of Israel asked Jephthah to step forward and lead his people into battle, and he did just that. He's probably most commonly known for the rash vow that he gave just before they went into battle, which when I tell you the vow, it'll probably sound a lot more familiar. Basically, he said, he made this vow to God. If successful in defeating the Ammonites, he would sacrifice to the Lord the first thing that came out of the front door, out of his front door. We're not going to be talking about that this evening, but I did want to kind of give that backstory on Jephthah. So let's look at Judges chapter 12. This happens after Jephthah is successful defeating the Ammonites. Picking up in verse 1, it says, the men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed Zephon and said to Jephthah, why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house over you with fire. And Jephthah said to them, I and my people had a great dispute with the Ammonites, and when I called you, you did not save me from their hand. And when I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead struck Ephraim, because they said, you are fugitives of Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and Manasseh. And the Gileadites captured the fords of Jordan against the Ephraimites. And when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, let me go over, the men of Gilead said to him, are you an Ephraimite? When he said no, they said to him, then say Shibboleth. And he said, Shibboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. Then they seized him and slaughtered him at the fords of the Jordan. At that time, 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell. Maybe not a story that you've heard before, but it's one that has always been very intriguing to me. And Jephthah, basically, and his army could tell where the Ephraimites were from by the way they spoke. The fugitives of Ephraim tried to disguise who they were in an attempt to cross the Jordan, only to have their accent give them away. In the same way, we can recognize someone in certain areas that we may be from, whether it be from the north or the south or the northeast. And in some cases, different words or phrases that give away where people are from. You know, there's many folks in here that are probably from all over this great land. I had the opportunity to give this lesson at the Manor Care this afternoon, and I asked where everyone was from, and they all said Indiana. So it didn't really work out the way that I thought it would, but I myself spent some time in Michigan, and when there was a group of people together, we would say, "You guys." That's how we described them. "What are you guys doing?" I also lived in Georgia. Georgia, a little bit different, a little bit more of a southern draw. You might say, y'all. Thankfully, I wasn't there long enough to acquire that draw, but I do remember it. I don't really know what people from Texas say. Maybe yeehaw or something like that. I don't know, but Brother Strong's not here to set me straight on that, so I'll have to ask him later. Another common phrase that might give away where you're from is how you refer to soda. You might say pop if you're from Michigan. You might say soda. Or if you're from Georgia, you might say Coke. You say, "I want Coke." They say, "What type?" And you're like, "Coke." So it's a little different. And then also, in Georgia, you may not know this, but they are very fond of sweet tea. So fond of it that it's literally in gas stations. I know that it's becoming more common practice today to have sweet tea in the north, but when you go to your typical sit-down-and-eat restaurants and you ask for sweet tea, oftentimes you're met with, "We have unsweet with sugar on the table," and that is appalling words to hear from somebody who is from Georgia. So let's make some spiritual application about this. I'm not just here to talk about all the different accents that we might have, but spiritually speaking, can people tell who you are by how we speak or act? Can they tell where our spiritual home is by the way that we act or speak? Think Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Or also, this verse was mentioned this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, when it talks about the fathers of faith. "These all died in faith, not having received things promised, but have seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth." So by how we act or speak, does it show our citizenship is in heaven? And they, as we are living in this present day, are we living as exiles in this land? Or can it be seen that we are exiles? So I wanted to go over three examples of individuals, specifically centered around the Apostle Peter and those that were around him, that could be recognized, he could be recognized by the way that he spoke. So turn with me to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts chapter 4. So Acts chapter 4, just to kind of give a little bit of background on this particular these particular verses, Peter and John had healed a lame beggar, and this greatly annoyed the Pharisees, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they were also greatly annoyed by the fact that Peter and John were preaching Christ resurrected. So picking up in verse 1, it says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and then put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. And then skipping down to verse number 13, they were being questioned by these individuals, and this is the follow-up after that. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Now, we can't physically be with Jesus, but through God's word, we can speak the same way that Peter and John spoke. And what did they speak? So let's look at verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, "And there is no salvation, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So one way we can be recognized as spiritually being with Jesus is by boldly teaching the gospel to others, teaching salvation in no one else but Jesus. Let's look at another example in Acts. Acts chapter 2. So we're not going to read the entire chapter of Acts, but it's the day of Pentecost, and what's common on the day of Pentecost is for all of the Jewish nations to come together in Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened. And the apostles were told as well to go there and to wait for the helper to come. And that was the Holy Spirit, who was to assist them on their beginning their work in preaching the gospel to others. And you might remember that when they were overcome by the Holy Spirit, they began speaking in tongues. So the 12 proclaimed the gospel in tongues, and the people were astonished because they were hearing their native tongue being spoken by Galileans. But you won't notice is just by them simply being spoken to in their native tongue, that didn't cause them to turn to Christ. It wasn't until they heard the gospel message spoken to them that they responded. It wasn't until they heard that Christ, whom you crucified, was spoken to them, and they were cut to the heart. And they, too, were baptized about 3,000 souls. Initially, they were thought to be drunk, but later recognized who they were by what they spoke. They were devout men of God proclaiming His word. And once again, we can see the way these men spoke, Jesus could be seen in them. Let's look at another example in Matthew chapter 26. So Matthew chapter 26, this one you might consider a negative example. Let's take a look. "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before them, saying, 'I do not know what you mean.' And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystander, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' A little while the bystander came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the sayings of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." So one thing that we can learn from these particular verses is, in an attempt to not appear to have been with Jesus, Peter lies about knowing him and then begins to swear and curse, saying, "I do not know him." One thing we can learn from this text is if we want to appear to not know Christ, we can do so by swearing, cursing, and denying him. So I ask the question again. Can people tell who you are or where your home is by the way you act or speak? We went over two examples where godly people spoke boldly in preaching and teaching of God's word, and then one example of an individual speaking in a way to convince others that he was not with Jesus. So I ask myself this question as much as I ask you. Does your speech or actions bring glory to God, or does your actions show you to be a part of the world? Let's take a look at a few more scriptures that we can use today to help us answer those questions. Scripture, if applied to our lives, can help us answer those questions in the affirmative. Let's look at Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Another verse let's look at. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We must let Christ rule in our lives if we want to be seen as being with Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Further on in Romans chapter 12, these verses commonly marked, maybe in your Bible, as marks of a true Christian. Picking up in verse number 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we do the things listed in these verses that we just read together, I'm confident that those around us will see who we are and where our home is. Not that we want to be seen, but that when we are seen, we can give glory to God. To where it can be said that we are a peculiar people, as it's mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So just as Jephthah and his men could see who was a fugitive of Ephraim, so can God see who belongs to him. So let's all live our lives in such a way that he can be seen in us. So I hope this lesson was beneficial to you and a reminder of the importance of living our lives in such a way that it can be seen Christ is a part of our lives. So perhaps you're here tonight and you haven't been living this way. You want to make a change. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. Before you can be seen as being with Christ, you must put him on in baptism. You can do that by following God's plan of salvation. In that plan, we are told that first we must hear God's word. As it tells us in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe, as it tells us in John chapter 8, verse 24, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We must also repent. Acts 2:38, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, when Peter was preaching that first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2 in the day of Pentecost, when he spoke to them, he cut them to the heart and they asked, what shall we do? And that's what he told them. Also, we must confess. Matthew 10:32 tells us, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven, and then be baptized, as we had read earlier in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then finally, and this is an important step, we must live faithfully until we die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. No one wants their toil to be in vain. So to only do part of what was mentioned can make your efforts that you've gone thus far to be in vain. So I urge everyone here this evening that if you have yet to follow those steps, don't wait another moment. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Or perhaps you're here and you've already followed those steps. Like Peter, though like Peter when he denied Christ, have been acting in such a way as to not show Christ in you. And you'd like to change that. We can assist you in any way that we can. If you'd like us to pray for you for strength, if you'd like to publicly repent of any sin that you've committed publicly, or just prayers, we would gladly do any of those things tonight. Whatever your need may be, come now as we stand and sing.